We have the chus of discussing two inyanim today, the inyanim of chatzitza and the inyanim of the inyanim bracha, b'kitzer. The inyanim of chatzitza are very lengthy, and we're going to, for the most part, in shir today, discuss the kalim, because there are many, many pratim in terms of what's a chatzitza, what's not a chatzitza, which is beyond the scope of our discussion, per se, but it's important for us today to have the kalim, and some pratim that come out of the kalim. But we're going to refer to, as I had on the Maamar Tamos, going to refer to today, your reinforced, unbelievable work, Halachos of Nida, Volume 2, he goes, has an extensive list of chatzitzos. Not only is it Kedai because it's so clear and so meticulously researched and organized as far as what is it usher, what's mutter, what's a machotes, but for those of us that are native English speakers, Eino Dome, which as much as we learn Hebrew, both rabbinic Hebrew by learning, and you might know Ivrit or Lashon HaKodesh, seeing things that are so pragmatic, that are related to day-to-day life in English, is something which is unrivaled. So you're right, we can understand what things are sometimes in Hebrew and in modern Hebrew, but to see it in English and clearly addressed as things the way we have it in America 2011 is phenomenal. Ray Forst did an unbelievable job in what he calls Book 8, the Halachos of Chatzitza, as well as in the entire Sefer. And it's important to note, in any area of the Psak, Ray Forst, there's really two agendas, it would seem, in his Sefer. Number one is to have an unbelievable exposition of their underlying concepts and applications of Halachos of Nida, as he writes in the cover. And number two, to Pastin. Rabbi Forst is a Postin in his own right, and he's Pastin. So where he Pastins, then it's up to each person with their discussions with those that they respect in Halacha to ask how they would Pastin. But the background is really unbelievable, and often the Psak is concurred on by most Postin as well. The Beis Yosef in Zmetruf Sadiches and the Tur quote, the issue of Chatzitza comes from the Gemara. Gemara in a few places in Shas. Gemara in Nida, the last parak of Nida. The Gemara in Erevin, Gemara in Sukkah. We have a din, Chatzitza min HaTorah, a din midi Rabbanan, and a minhag. The din min HaTorah is that the only time a Chatzitza is a problem for a Tvila b'mikvah is rubo u'matbid. It has to cover most of a person's body, and it has to be that a person's matbid on. A person would like it not to be there. They'd rather not to have a tremendous blotch of cement on most of their body. Something which stops the water from going, obviously, chatzitza stops the water from going. Not even permeable, as we'll see, stops the water from going on rub of the body. Midrabanan, Chazal said, those two variables that exist in the Torah are problems in and of themselves if you have only one of the variables. So in the Torah, it's rubo and machbid. Midrabanan, it's rubo or machbid. Another way of saying that is rov, even if you're not machbid. You don't care about it. Or miut, if you do care about it. Those are both asur midrabanan, which means they would invalidate the tefillah if a person was tovel in such a way, they'd have to be tovel again with a bracha, because that's the drabanon, like Hanukkah and Purim are drabanon, there's no less drabanon. And then, there's a minhag. That's the background in Beis Yosef, Tur Tzadiches in the Beis Yosef. The Darkei Moshe quotes in Sifkat and Beis, and the Ramah, more popularly, in the Ramah, in Siman Tur Tzadiches, Sif Aleph, says, L'chadchila lo tzvo a field with Ramesh and Chotzin at all. Nothing on at all. Even if it's not a chatzitza, make sure it's not on. That is an important idea. So the mice, it's mutter, and there certainly would be no need to have another tefillah. Whether a mutter quotes a very strong min of Ashnaz, is no chatzitzots that are ma'akev, and no chatzitzots that are not ma'akev should be on the body either. Well, I say that's an important minhag. Rav Adya points out that is not minhag Yedut Mizrach. There is no such source for that in the minhag of Sfardim. That's the Ramah. It's only Darkei Moshe. Well, Ma'is, in most situations, it won't make that much of a difference, but that's an important thing to know. The Ramah's Chumrah, not necessarily the Chumrah that the Mechaber quotes Bechlal. Within that realm, Rav Forst makes a beautiful Ha'ara, which is important both with insight into humanity and Halacha. I'll expand upon what he said. In general, Hilchos Nida often is a source that many people find can produce anxiety. Why does it produce anxiety? Well, often people think, whoa, this is one of the only times I'm getting involved with Chas V'Shalom with the Chi of Karis. Shabbos, I know, I try to keep Shabbos. Yom Kippur, I don't let any food near me. I'm in shul the whole day Yom Kippur. But Chi of Karis, if I don't keep this properly, it's Chi of Karis for me and for my husband. Well, nice, in point of fact, that's not true. 99% of the situations you've seen throughout our development of Hilchos Nida that we're zocheh to go through together, so many chumras, b'nos Yisrael v'am Yisrael, both before and after that, which make it that even if a woman, let's say, forgets Zayin and Hinel Gamri, forgets Bedita, forgets Afsachtara, in most situations, of course that's not halacha l'maisel l'maisel, we would never recommend that, is there going to be a violation of Chi of Karis? But pashtus not. Most women are considered nidos, not zavos, and in most situations, l'maisa, yesham l'ilismoch, it's not going to be a real Chi of Karis. So it's important not to, chas v'shom, make nida and zava kal in people's eyes, but it is important to realize that what's often at stake is not Chi of Karis. At the same time, because it's an area that people come into later in life, there's a little bit of anxiety on that too. It might be that people that were not, did not have the zechus of growing up in a totally from home might feel anxiety with Shabbos. But since that's something which is more nafutz, it's easier to feel, everyone's doing it. But in Hilchos Nida, which is more of a private matter, as well as something that people discover later, they think, hey, what? I never knew that. They think they might not know things, they might have to be more machmir. Also, people are more welcome to have shilas, unfortunately, because it's more private. Also, that Melchitz pointed out, in general, human sexuality is sometimes an area which can cause anxiety. And sometimes that's manifested specifically in areas of Hilchos Nida. If it's not going to manifest itself in one's entire life, maybe it does, or maybe it's going to be in Hilchos Nida in general. And more specifically, it's pretty common to have people that have some sort of obsessive/compulsive issues in their lives, whether it's mamash a disorder or more of just of an atia. We know in general, mental health professions, sometimes it's hard to be madur, but it's a disorder, which is just a personality trait. It might specifically manifest itself only in Hilchos Nida, not anywhere else, because that's something which is important to know. And if it's not going to really impinge on the husband and the wife and the Rav, then maybe it's better that way, that's fine. But it's an important thing to be aware of. So Rav Forst points out on page 274 in volume 2, as a Havdama Hilchos Chatzitza. Before continuing, we must dispel a common misconception. Based upon what we saw so far, Deraisa Derabanan and Minhag Ramah, no, nothing which is Chotzeitz. Women are extremely careful before Tevilah to rid themselves of any foreign matter. The risk of an invalid Tevilah is a frightening thought. This is as it should be. Yet, this is not what determines Makbid. Makbid is what one minds under normal circumstances and everyday activities, working, shopping, bathing, attending a wedding, not what one minds because of Tevilah. So the idea of Makbid, he's really saying in a few sentences, the concept in general, it's important not to go crazy and to hurt oneself, as we'll see, with an idea of, oh, I'm Makbid. You're Makbid because of Tevilah, but that's not necessarily considered the objective Hakpad. If you look, if you're Ma'ayin carefully, you try to see what's going on, oh yeah, that thing is there. But no one ever cares about it. Even if you get dressed to meet President Obama, you would not be concerned. If you're going to a wedding, it's your kid's wedding, you wouldn't be concerned. So that's not necessarily something that you're concerned with, just because of chatzitza. Very important klal, and there's a lot of words loaded in those few sentences. Now let's go through the Shulchan Aruch bit by bit and get some of the very important klalim in Hilchos Chatzitza. Shulchan Aruch Siman Tuf Tzadiches Sif Aleph. Tzuchah Shetitval Kodufa Pamachas. That's important. Lefichach tzarech shelo yeh shum derech chotzeitz. Va'afilu tol shehu, miut. Miut, is that going to be the raisa d'rabbanon? D'rabbanon. Im derech b'nei adam with amim lahakpid olav. Very, very powerful statement. Derech b'nei adam with amim lahakpid olav chotzeitz. If it's normal for most people, sometimes to be makpid. This idea of with amim is an essential klal in general in Hilchos Chatzitza. The Shach quotes in Sifkat Nalef, what's Lef Amim? Kevan Dicha Zimna de Makpedes. The Shach quote in the Bach quotes that if there's some time that she's Makpid, that's enough. Not like Rav Forst said, Lushay Mikvah, but if times in her life she's Makpid, that's considered Makpid. It's going to be a problem, Mid Rabbanon. If it's Ruba, which is not so common, it's going to be the Raisa. Where does this come from? The Shach quotes from the Bach, but in reality it goes a step further. The Rush and the Beis Yosef quote from the Ravid This is hinted to the Kitzur in the Pesach Tshuva Siftan Aleph. What if a woman under the chuppah got a ring, and that ring is so dear to her she never takes it off, except when she makes challah? When she makes challah, either she's concerned there's dirt put under the ring and she's going to need the challah, there's going to be dirt getting to the challah, or she knows that if she keeps it on when she's making challah, it'll get stuck under the ring and it won't be so pleasant for her. So she takes it off and puts it in a special place just when she makes challah. Zuck the Ravid, if when she's lush, that's the only time in her life she takes off the ring, that itself is a problem. That itself is considered machbid. There are specific times in her life that she is machbid, that's considered a hakpada. That's, and the Pesach Tshuva refers to the Taz in Sifchat and Chav Gimel. Later on, they quote this idea. And he summarizes beautifully from the Tshuva Zikron Yosef. There are certain times she's machbid, certain situations, part of her normal routine in general, which is a little bit ambiguous, that she's going to be machbid on. That if she's only machbid, rak pamachas l'zman ruba, well, what if there's only one time in her life she's machbid? Let's say it's her own wedding, maybe. So if it's her own wedding, it's the one time in her life she's machbid, it's very neat in the memory, that's not considered machbid. That's not part of her normal routine. That's a very important klal in general. What if she's machbid specifically because there's a minug to be machbid? It's superimposed upon her. So here, we're going to take a step for a minute, we're going to fast forward to Truf Sadiches, to a very, perhaps the most famous issue in Truf Sadiches, in terms of, this is both in Yeredeia and Arachayim, it's the most famous raid in Shulchan Aruch as far as Hakpada, is the issue of nails. And here there's important, we're fast forwarding to bring up two important points as far as Chatzitza is concerned. In Siman Truf Sadiches, Sif Chav. The halachos, in general, from Yudches to Chaf, deal with nails. In Sif Yudches, the Shulchan Aruch says, Soa, Shetachas HaTziporin, you have dirt under the nails, is it going to be Chatzitza? But say, Doa was a Chatzitza, so then Sif Chaf, the Shulchan Aruch says, even though we say dirt in most situations is a chatzitza, davka, batek, or dirt, shetacha satziporin chotzeitz. Only if it's going to be under the nail, it's chotzeitz. Aval tziporin atzma, en chotzeitz. The nail itself is not a chatzitza. Why? Because it's part of her body. Zach the Shulchan Aruch. Vafil b'maisa gedola, ve'omedes lichatech, if it's really long and she would really cut it. Uporeches, it's long nails. It's already a little bit frustrating when she wants to do things. She has really long nails. It's not chatzitza. We'll get back to that idea in a second as far as being part of the natural body. Let's continue in the Ramah. Zok the Ramah. Miu calls it, of course, Dr. Shane, so about it, tachtav, b'shat, shatav, if there's no dirt. Zok the Ramah. Umeachar, since the minhag is women always cut their nails off the Ramah before they go to the mikveh, afilam tziporan achas nishar biyada itzavra tzricha tevila acheres chein nodin. Zokt Ramah. If the minhag is to always cut your nails, even if you say nails, come on, I'm not machped on my nails, that itself is a chumrah. That minhag is a chumrah which is going to superimpose upon you the idea that you're machbid. So we saw in Shulchan Aruch the idea of specifically you being machbid. Shulchan Aruch says, if you're machbid, or derech b'nei adam, zok the Ramah, even if derech b'nei adam is going to be against you because of a minhag, derech b'nei adam is not they really care about it, but derech b'nei adam because of a minhag to do it, that's not going to be a problem. So that's the Ramah's chumrah, if the minhag is to do it, you can't fight city hall.
It's not against reports that it's a hakpada, because this is an example of a hakpada that we have on the nails because of tevila.
Good point. So why is it not the same as a reforced idea of tevila? Teretz is, if it's something that you want to get rid of because of tevila, that's something which is okay. That's not a problem. But if the minhag institutionalized is that women have to cut it, that becomes makbid l'rov b'nei adam. Now let's go back. We have more to see in Ezra Hashem in that Shulchan Aruch Sivchaf. But the point I'm bringing up for now in that is the idea of Minog. So we see again, Mordechai, before your question, the Shulchan Aruch says, Derech Bnei Adam. Included in Derech Bnei Adam is the idea of Minog. That's going to constitution. That's going to constitute Derech Bnei Adam. Mordechai, all the way from the back. We'll get to it. So turning the nails again. Sivchaf, we did not, we only began to touch Sivchaf. In the immortal words of Douglas MacArthur, we shall return. We'll be back to Sivchaf later. But for now, it's just important to see the parameters of what Machbid means. So it comes out from the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Aleph, two Yesodos as far as what Achpada means. Number one, Derech Bnei Adam with Machbid, even if she's not Machbid. Or, even if she's not Machbid at all, Tamish the Derech, Rove Bnei Adam Machbid or Apostates. So number one is, if Rove people are Machbid, that's a problem. And we mentioned, based upon the Shulchan Aruch and Sivchaf, even if it's a Minog, which makes Rove Bnei Adam Machbid, she has no ability to fight that. Number two is, not only is it Rove, and then again, it's, let's say she is a person who's a, let's talk about in the 60s. People were very free. They were not so concerned with where they looked in the 60s. So she said, yeah, I'm okay. You're okay. Everything's fine. She has strange chatzitzas on her body. Then if most people are machbid on that, that would be a concern. That's latent in the words of Shulchan Aruch a few times. Rov bnei adam. Then the Shach and Sifkat and Beis, as well as the Taz and Sifkat and Nimrod, quote from the Beis Yosef, although the Beis Yosef is not so sure, a very important klal. As the Shach says in Sifrat and Beis, and again this is echoed by the Taz and Sifrat and Gimel, Hecha de Rov bnei Adam ein machbidim, vehi machbedes, it's also a problem. If Rov are not machbid, but she herself is machbid, then she's going to fight Tzidi Hill the other way. We say that her hakpada is going to be a chumr. So if she is a feinschmecker, she's more machbid than the average person, that's a problem also. David, again, not with very forced idea, it's not going to be a problem if she's doing it just for Tevila, that's considered, that's not really hakpada. That's like the Pesach Shuvah said in Sifkat and Aleph, she's machpedas itim zimonos in part of her normal life. But if she does it specifically because she's machped, she doesn't like these things, it's so gross, I don't like that, that's a problem. Let's say, for example, one might make one might argue, let's say her minhag is every week she gets a manicure. If there's some hangnails, although it's good to remove hangnails, let's say some hangnails that no one ever notices. Some roughness, let's say, around the edges of her nails. But she's very machbid. She gets a manicure once every week or twice a week. So one might say that, so she's half a machbid, that's going to be a problem. She can't get a manicure, as we'll see, before the mikvah to put nail polish on, necessarily. But that idea of those hangnails that are there, if she's machbid, that would be potentially a problem. We'll see if that's really a good example, part of the body or not. So far we talked about the idea of Rubo and Machbid. And in most situations, as Rabbi Forst points out, you never have Rubo. Almost never you have Rubo. It's like the cases Lahavdil by Esrodim. They talk about funny things, Chazazios and things on Esrodim. The Esrog merchants make sure those things are off any Esrog that might have them in Eretz Israel. They never get to us in America. We have all Esrodim we see are beautiful Esrodim. The question is how beautiful. So similarly, they talk about Rove. Most women get rid of Roves on their body altogether. We talk about Miutz in terms of Machbid or not. What if she's Machbid that she'd after wants it? So that's not Machbid, she's Machbid, but the other way around. So here the Sidur Torah starts the discussion in Sifkat and Chav Gimel. This is on Sif Ses, it's a long Sidur Torah. So here the primary discussion is summarized in Sub Dimaskal of the Sutashali. He talks about different issues, Machlokas Rishonim, what then is, specifically if you are Machbid, not to take it off. And there are different reasons a person can be Machbid, not to take something off. Aesthetic reasons, reasons for refuah, or what about specific pain? It really hurts you. So the Sudha Tari is really talking about if it's really specific pain, Mitztara Lov, Enochotzitz. It's a chumrah to get rid of something which is really machbid. There are some rishonim that disagree, but we presume in general that if something which is really mitzteres ben tiyulasa, that's miyuto she'eno machbid. It's miyuto she'machbid she'lo lahasir. So it's really mitzteir. Why does it come up? Perhaps it's most common, as Rabbi Forst points out on page 279, is a beautiful discussion as far as stabs. What's the halacha with the stib? Some poskim say that the stib is considered chatzitza. That's the part of the Siddur Torah's discussion. But then others say the Siddur Torah quotes Nathan Rasa, the Sutasha. He says, other poskim rule, that since they're painful to remove, and one wants them on, it's not a chatzitza. Well, I say we are metal. We're metal with stabs. Like the Siddur Torah quotes, this machlok has been shown him. Well, Maisa, minute olam, though, as we're forced to stress this at length, 279 to 280, is that we try to be choshesh as much as we can for the other approach in the Siddur Torah. So therefore, what do? We try to soak stabs. I mentioned yesterday part of chafifa is to take a bath, a shower, or ideally a bath. Not only is that good for chafifa, to wash one's body, that helps for minute of Yisrael in stabs as well. Because what happens then is that a person is going to soak stabs, stabs become much easier to permeate because they're going to be very moist. So even if there would be a chatzitza, sometimes stabs that are going to come off in a few days will come off in a bath without being forced by being soaked for a while, or they're going to be more permeable. When Rabbi Neuberger sometimes does refresher courses, I think she tells people that, and what if it's, let's say, on your face or something that you can't submerge, then it's good to put some sort of washcloth that's going to soak it also, to be chashish for this idea of stabs being soaked.
Stabs don't count as part of your body?
Well, it depends. Stabs, which is really part of... It's repression. The three terms, as Rabbi Force points out, look at footnote 51.
You want my elbow?
Oh, your elbow. That's really...
This is part of my... This isn't like
a... It's not... Right. So it depends on how the stab is. The stab is really a blood clot, which is external. That's right. Not part of the body necessarily. There's three terms. Rabbi Force, this is footnote 51. He points out very beautifully. There are three terms we have in the Gemara and the Rishonim. We have rear, deled, and rivet of the chasulta. So that solves it, right? We don't know what those are necessarily. It's hard to know what they are. What are these terms? So therefore, it's hard to really be mad to do that. But we see already the ideas. Rear, shadav, amata. There are ideas of things that go on the mata, pus or stabs, which the Gemara already talks about as being issues of chatzitza. That's not the same as something which grows from your body normally.
But if a woman can't wet?
Sorry?
Let's say she can't put what on.
Oh, let's get there. Let's talk about the extreme example soon about a test. Or Ritia, we'll get there soon, Bezat Hashem. So that's really all some of the major kolam as far as rov. We have rov, minatar vid rabbanon, then the minog, machokas, machaber, and ramah, then the idea of minog making people be machbid, then the idea of being machbid not to take it off, all kolam that apply, and then what the idea of her being machbid specifically against others. Those are all different permutations, really, of the same idea of rubo and machbid. Let's get back to Sif Chaf again. What's the din of something that's natural? Naturally part of your body. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to be open and shut that something which is naturally part of your body is not a chatzitza. The nail is not a chatzitza. The only question is, since it's a chiddush, the Ramah says, it's normally minhag to get rid of it, that's something else. But if it's part of your body, even though it's very long, mutter. Zecht Rav Moshe. Idris Moshe is Rav Moshe. Idris Moshe, Yerdei Abeis, Simen Pei. So that's Rav Moshe. The same thing is true. Let's say a woman is going to, she decides she looks much better in short hair. Well, Maisa, it just doesn't do it. Her long hair doesn't do it. She's tried straightening it, tries curling it. It doesn't work. Short hair. She has an appointment at the barber, the hairstylist, tomorrow to cut her hair 8 inches. She's going to donate her hair. It's all planned out. Cutting her hair. Well, Maisa, she's going to the mikveh tonight. So some Rishonim say, "Kol omeg lachos kifatus domi." If it's something which you're going to have, you plan on cutting off, that's considered a chatzitza. More than that, if you specifically find it annoying, like the nail, you normally cut your nails. Not normally from minhag, but you normally cut your nails. They're too long, chatzitza. How does the mechaber pashtun know? That's not a problem. As long as it's part of your body, it's not a problem. It's up to Rav Moshe. Even though you have an appointment tomorrow at the hair stylist, not a concern. Truth be told, Rav Moshe is talking about an even more serious situation. Let's say a woman is machbid because in some parts of Klal Yisrael there's a minhag for a woman to make their hair very, very short, even to remove all their hair because of, that's a minhag, either because of extra tznius or because of tiyuv mikvah, whatever reason the minhag exists. So for Moshe, is that a concern before she's, let's say she's going to do it when she gets married. So the day before when she's tovelos, is that considered a chatzitza? She knows she has plans to adopt to cut it. That's her minhag, to cut it. So for Moshe, no. If lamais is part of your body, that's not considered a chatzitza b'chlal. Hair which is going to be cut is never a concern. That's not Mustam Mamish L'Chodeos, but that's the approach we usually hold like with Moshe, that it's going to be Mutter L'Gamri. Rav Forst, I believe, quotes this in one of the footnotes. He points out this idea of somewhere in the early 80s. Yeah, 83, if you want to look it up. In 80, page 285, footnote 83, he quotes this Rav Moshe about hair. The shaila is, we know there are different types of hair on the body. So hair from the head, people usually make appointments to cut every so often. What about body hair that they usually shave? So if a woman's usually going to shave part of her body, and she doesn't want to shave before the mikvah, she doesn't have time, is that considered chatzitza or not? So Rabbi Forrest discusses on page 285, shaving legs. There's a minhag some have to shave. What if they're visibly in need of shaving? Ideally, shave them before tevilah, So Rabbi Forrest adds in footnote 86, it would seem this is worse than untied hair. This is Rabbi Forrest's own chiddush. Maybe it's worse than untied hair, because if it's noticeably different, if it's a haircut, you just think you need a haircut. That's one thing. But here it's, you would normally feel uncomfortable going out without shaving there. Perhaps, in this case, even Rav Moshe would be machbid. Maybe.
Meaning you need to shave.
Right, so you need to shave. Rav Forrest points out the idea that many people point out, often when after hair is, if it's shaved, not if it's cut, but often hair if it's cut also, if it's shaved specifically on the body, it has some sort of electromagnetic pull to it. So if a woman's going to shave, she should try not to shave right before the mikvah, just pragmatically, it might be the uncut hair is stuck to her body. So if she doesn't even know, then it's miyot shein machbid. But if she knows and she just, whatever, she wants to get rid of it, she's too lazy to get rid of it, she can't, then that's a concern. It's better to shave a day before the mikvah than to shave mamish erev the mikvah if she's going to shave. But what if she knows this? It was she usually shaves every day, every week. It's already 3 weeks, and she just didn't shave. So Rav Forrest says maybe even Rav Moshe would agree that she should shave then. Rav Willig, though, was reluctant to say that we have such a chumra. He thought Lamaisa, in such a situation, there is no concern whatsoever. Part of the body, Shacharach, Sifchach, and Rav Moshe, part of the body is never considered a chatzitza. We don't say, that it's a concern. This came to a head, literally, when a woman told my wife, who teaches chalas, with the following concern. She had an appointment for electrolysis. She wanted specific hair removed. She knew it was going to be removed, and she wants it never back again. Electrolysis is the day after the mikvah. So is that considered a concern? Because she knows she wants it off, or not? So, it depends. Maybe even Rabbi Forrest would say that's part of your body. No one notices. It's just something which you notice. That would not be a concern. Rabbi Willig thought that's never a concern. Part of the body is not considered a chatzitza. She has an appointment tomorrow to obliterate it, to get rid of it, and to remove it forcibly. L'maisa, it's not a concern. Part of the body is never considered a chatzitza.
You said that you shouldn't shave the day before
because
the uncut hair might be there?
Uncut hair. Right. So, Zebi's pointing out a good hara. Let's say a woman shaves very sloppily. So, there's some hair that's there, some hair that's not there. So, really, she has to do it again. So that might be Machokas, very forced in footnote 86. Rav Willig was makeup. Rav Willig, once it's part of the body, it's never chatzitza. Rav Forrest is saying, if it's visible, maybe even Rav Moshe would say it's a problem. So let's say you cut your hair. What would Rav Moshe say? Let's say a person, the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch. If a person is in a barber, and all of a sudden he hears that Meis lo Meis, Rachman Otzlan, he's now an Avil, he's allowed to continue the haircut. Look, if it's a stupid person that tells, no one should tell him. There's no mitzvah to Motzi Dibu Kasil, no one should tell him. But let's say he finds out. He can still finish his haircut. Let's say a woman decides she's in the mood for having half a haircut. So maybe even Rav Moshe, that's where Rav Forrest argues in front of 86, even Rav Moshe would say that's considered a problem because that looks stupid. So maybe that if she has half the hair short and half the hair long, maybe even Rav Moshe would say that's a chatzitza. So Rav Willig, I think, would say in such a situation also, once it's part of the body, it's not a chatzitza altogether. So you're bringing the same thing. If you shave and part of the hair is still uncut, so that's where Rav Forrest probably would be mocked, but that's noticeable because you did a sloppy job. But we presume, usually, if it's part of the body, it's not a problem at all.
But that's enough for me to shave the day before it's
today. No, that's for cut hair. Cut hair becomes electromagnetic. It's going to stay on the body sometimes. So it's eight to tovach mashmalan. That's my wife always tells Kalas, that in general, if they whatever part of the body they shave, and their minute is to shave, if they're going to shave, don't shave right before the mikvah, because that might make it harder rather than easier.
Might stay on the body.
Right.
Give it a day
before. And that's worse, because that's not part of
the shower at the mikvah.
Well, it depends. A person has to know themselves. Sometimes they don't necessarily care, but they have to just know. The hair, we know, it's sometimes if There's nothing like wet hair. Let's say you have a shave in the sink, like wet hair sometimes, or is something which is very sticky, it's hard to remove. So then it's around the body. It can be stuck there sometimes. Aaron.
What has more call up in this case? Meaning, let's say there's a woman who has an akpara. She doesn't like that, you know, when even a tiny bit of stubble on her legs, right? So for her, that drives her crazy, whatever, right? So that's that on the one hand. And let's say on the other hand, though, you know, comes time for her to go mikvah, and whatever, she had a busy day, crazy day, and she just didn't have a chance to like.
Oh, right. So
do we follow the idea of Israel Khanarov that bottom line is it's part of her body?
That's the posture. Right?
But at the same time, she has that hakpada.
So. Right, so you're putting two things together, meaning Rabbi Forst to R86 that maybe it's even Rav Moshe would be machmir in certain situations, and only for her. Meaning that's not most people are machmir, that's just her chumrah. It's hard to say that we should be machmir in such a situation because that's her unique.
But I'm saying for that person in particular.
Right. Still, but still, that's only her. It's not noticeable. It's only her thing that we should not say it's such a problem.
Yeah. What does that have to do with the fact that the Ramaz seems to say that you could have situations where
if it's institutionalized minhag, that's different. No, we know if the minhag in Yisrael is a problem, that's true. Yeah. Meaning minhag Yisrael, that's the idea we have Rubo, Makbid, then Miut, and Makbid, and only her, only others. Or even if others would not really care per se, but the minhag is to do it, that's going to trump her personal preference. But that's a chiddush, because that's part of the body that the minhag is after the cut. That's the chiddush of the Ramah.
And what about if real people don't, even though it's part of the body, but real people will cut it? Like, let's say, I would imagine leg hair once it gets to a certain length.
That's where we forced Torah in 86, that in general, you might say, but the pashtus is, as Rav Moshe is explaining, that
even in a case when
right, because it's right, exactly.
Market, that's
right,
that's not only when it's a matter.
Right, exactly. Oh, but now you bring it up. Let's go. Now let's next step. Let's go a little bit before we go to some details as far as chatzitza. Let's discuss a little bit the big issue in Sifchaf. Sifchaf, it's a famous machlokas Shach and Taz, just it comes up in Mishneh Berurah in Hilchos Shabbos also. So even those who don't learn Nida, we're in this. It's a Shach. It's a Taz. It's an Mishneh Tesef, and the Be'er Heitev summarized it very well. Sifchaf Beis. The Shach, in the beginning of Katan Chafhei, says, hold on, what are you saying? Ramah, what are you talking about? What do you mean, Minhog? Emes Chumrazu, and this is Vishim Posig. Vadrabah Me Mishnah, Barbe Postim, Vatur, Mechaber, pretty good, reliable sources. Nir Mavur, the Choshet Zipur Noki, Vada Inachotzitz. It's Adol Sharidur that says Tov Lahachmir. So the Shach, first of all, I'll tell you my Ramah Blin. Maram Bablin says that, no, it's a chumrah, and the chumrah applies only, like in your situation, perhaps, if she cut 9 fingers and she forgot to cut number 10. There it looks strange. That's what we mean. But if she keeps all 10 on, that's not a concern altogether. Not a concern. And the Baritiv summarizes there beautifully, quotes the Maram, and Lamaisa, once it's a chumrah, it depends what happens. It's ideal to cut all the nails. But what if she came home already? And she either was with her husband or maybe even not. We would not tell her to go back. She will also see Laz on the tefillah. Number one. The Shach, for that's all the Maram. So the Shach, I'll expand further. It depends. If she already was with her husband, as long as she knows the nails were clean, we are meitel. Taz also is more meitel, more than the Ramah. So both the Shach and the Taz essentially, ideally say we should be choshish, but are more meitel than the Ramah. What happens if it's Shabbos or Yontif and she didn't cut her nails? So Lamaisa, the Magen Rebbe also talks about this issue, that we have two options. Do we say that it's Soma Akev that you have to have an Amir al-Aklam to do it? Amir al-Aklam would be, we're choshes for the Ramah, it's minhag to do it, and it's mutar Amir al-Aklam. So, Lamaisa, the Taz says no. Taz says, Lamaisa it's a chumrah, but we're not so makbid, don't use Amir al-Aklam, just clean very well. Clean very well is going to be good enough. The Shach says, come on, you're right, it's a chumrah, it's a valid chumrah l'chatchila, and it's mutar, because Amir al-Aklam is shvus, shvus, try to make it dishvus, try to make it without a kli, try to do it with some other shinoi, shvus l'shvus, malcha mitzvah is mutter. And the Shach even says, in Chiddush, even one shvus, malcha mitzvah is mutter. Amir l'acham, malcha mitzvah is mutter. The Shach doesn't quote this, but we know what the paradigm for this idea of malcha mitzvah lo gazru is Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says that if a person can have the chance of buying a house in Eretz Yisrael and having the guy sign the contract on Shabbos, so we're Maitil, Malcha Mitzvah, we're not those who are the idea of the Mir Wa'akum. The Shach says that falls in the same category, we're going to be Maitil. That's Machalkos Halachal Maisus. What happens? That depends. It comes up in Mitzvos every so often. What do we do? So there are some Mitzvos that have a guy on hand, like this Shach, in order to be Maitil and have a guy cut the nails of the person who needs to, even with the tweezers, or with the nail clippers, let's say, even with the tweed. Others try to avoid, but that shach is something which is so this machlokes shach and taz is very important, first of all, for the alumnus in general, of are we really smachmir on the Ramah? They're not as enthralled with the Ramah as the Ramah is. But then they point out, we try to be machmir, even though yeah, the concern of Miro Akram on Shabbos. Jeremy.
One can't go to a boy barber and shave his pious, right? You consider that Messiah and that they're over. So why on Shabbos handing her
finger is not a problem? So you have to be careful. Maybe you should try to be careful with that. In Echnami, if you're limp. No, Messiah, that's a big machok of Makav Nikav, what Makav Nikav means. But usually you presume they have to be Messiah, not just doing it yourself. You have to, so in Echnami, it's a good heart to keep in mind. 100% true.
Are women not fit of how they move their limbs?
Yeah, I don't remember. And so you're pointing. That's a question. That's a part. Also, it's Machash Yitzri Chadrufa. It's all part of the discussion that they point out. That's the shock that discusses. It's a long shach. It's only because of minhag, machshin tzuchadufa, part of the discussion. The shach quotes the suud who chumrid osi with a pula. Shach pishad gayam chotechas from hamakam osi Yisraelis mesa yaas. Ade shemata was yodeh. He osi malachazu. Inyan hatavas peya. Makav nitiv. That's the Taz. So. That's the Taz says, that's his last footnote against the Shach. He says, Lamaisa, just clean carefully. Taz is not willing to be Mekel. The Shach and the Tirus HaKesef, the Shach, both in Shach, and then argues in the Tirus HaKesef, thinks that it's concerned. I don't remember, what does he say, Taka, about Makif Nitif? I don't remember the Shach brings it up. Look, Jeremy Chef, let's see. I remember, check again. I don't remember if he addresses it directly. I don't think he does. But I remember. Check it up. You do the homework. Please check. Report back. So that's a very important klaus. That's one of the most famous sifim in Hilchos Chasitas, because of all the raid about it. Let's discuss some of the detailed issues as far as Chasitas is concerned. Lamaisa, what about today for the Maris Adamim? I was trying to use an ink-based pen. Not ink-based, like a rollerball instead of a ballpoint. Ballpoints are not as easy to write on cloth. Roller jets do better. So I'm actually, this rollerball did such a good job, it was tzvia my hands too. So what's the shot? If I would want to go to the mikvah, is that considered a concern or not? Tzvia. So Lamaisa, as Rav Forrest quotes very beautifully, we presume that things that have something without substance, Dovish Inwa Mamish is not a concern. The Taz in Sifkat and Yud Zayin points out the idea of Inwa Mamish is not a concern. There's no Mamashus. This is my fingers became colored, but there's no Mamashus to it. So Lamaisa, usually we're not Makbid. Nevertheless, it's a Machalchus minority as opposed to Mar. Most Mikvos have bleach in order to help a woman get rid of something if she can. If she can't, we don't go crazy. Just according to Rav Postman, that's okay. But that's what I do. We try. Let's get rid of anything which even in Bamamish, just be choshish for that. What about nail polish? Oh, nail polish. So the Maisa, nail polish, one might have said, is bejeder, the Sidrei Tara's discussion in the postim. You got to want nail polish on. So that's rubo umakba that you want it. Ikudina we're makil, as we mentioned with stabs. It's not a concern. Not because it's part of the body, but because you want it there. It's painted it off, or you want it. Does nail polish have mamish? So there probably is mamish, because it's more of a lacquer. One might in any case say it's ain't mamish, but we presume it's mamish. Rabbi Forrest points out, notably Lahakil, footnote 120, page 290, footnote 120, from Rabbi David Greenwald, Karen Ludovid, and Yavia Omer, Rabbi Vadia, that are metal ikledina with nail polish. But, number two caveats. Number one, we try to be choshesh. Women should definitely remove their nail polish. Number one. But for the effort, it's definitely yeshem milusmoch say it's mutter. Number two, turns out not how nice it is. If the nail polish is 2 weeks old and it's almost off altogether, that's worse, ironically. So if she's having nail polish, at least make sure it's nice nail polish that she really wants it. Because if she really says, yeah, you really need to get rid of it anyway, not so pasha. That's rubel makla, she wants it off. What's the halacha if she goes to mikvah and finds a tiny bit of nail polish? Oh yeah, I didn't realize a tiny bit of nail polish still on my finger. What's the concern? Mutter or usser? You tell me again? Mutter, why?
Namak,
what's the rash? She's not makra. She went to the whole chafifa. She didn't notice it. Come on. So we're not concerned. That happens very often. Every so often you get shyless about situations. Oh, I flossed, I brushed, I noticed I had something on my teeth still. So by definition, that's not makbid. If she went to the mikveh and she was checking, she didn't notice it, that's not makbid. That's pretty much mavur, that's not makbid. She didn't notice it herself. She'll notice it later. Usually it's considered not makbid.
Well, why do we need to even go that far to say that's why you make on that pillow again? Why can't we just rely on the fact that, like Ravadia says, I'm saying...
No, Ravadia is saying for real nail polish. If it's a tiny bit, meaning that she wants there, if it's a tiny bit that she doesn't want there, it might be worse.
And
it's not a var that she doesn't want it there just for tefillah. She really doesn't want it there. She just was too rushed. She was thinking of her office. She didn't notice.
But why is not noticing should maybe be a reason? Could say, okay.
Yeah.
Saying like what I said, we just said before with the electromagnetic pole. She also didn't notice the fact that there was some leftover cut hair on her legs or wherever else.
You're right. So in such a it depends. The fact is not that she didn't notice when she went to the mikveh. That could be definitely she was mikveh. The Mishnah talks about that she a woman who was tavelis and she found etzem main shinah and Rebbe made her be tavel again. Okay. So it's the fact that we presume if she's doing chafifa for an hour and didn't notice it at all, it's probably something that she's not mikveh. She only knows I noticed a tiny little thing. It's a simon and that's not a sibah. You're right. Absolutely not going to be good enough per se. What are artificial nails? Artificial nails is a very interesting phenomenon. So we presume artificial nails are a chasitza that's mamish be'en. Now, is there pain? No. Lamaisa, Rabbi Forrest quotes footnote 126, he's willing to be made up with the Eved on artificial nails, with the Eved, because it's decorative, even though it has mamashus. That's similar to the idea of the Sefer Torah, you want it there. Lamaisa, there's a person who calls me every so often that his wife has some sort of real concern. She feels that her nails really look bad. She will not leave the house unless she can have artificial nails on them. The problem is that she hasn't professionally applied, and she only does it, let's say, once every month or once every other month. If she has to go to the mikveh, she'll take them off for the mikveh, but she won't leave the house for another 6 weeks until she can do it. Or she'll only wear shoes, and she doesn't like to wear shoes just in the summer. She wants. It's a bordering on a very serious psychological / medical / both / neither, I don't know, issue. One has to really be mashakel b'shitul adas such a situation, because artificial nails, ikudina, were very, it's much worse than nail polish, but in such a situation, maybe we could say she's mamish mapped, even because there's pain, psychological or physical pain, strong tzad l'hakel.
Perhaps we could say if it was professionally applied, I don't know what to do, but if you're doing such a way that it's so takua on the nail, so maybe it's a key part of the body.
Oh, so that's a wrapping. Apparently it's a wrapping. Women who currently attach as a covering, wrapping, parentheses, to fragile thin nails, maybe tovel, as she would if she cuts and trims them in the same way she would natural nails. The wrapping grow? I don't know how wrappings work. But that's if it's permanent, mommy, you have to, right, each situation depends on itself. Makeup! Oh! What's then with makeup? So, makeup, lamaisa, there's room to be makeup with makeup, with the edit. Because makeup is there for decorative purposes, and a woman wants it there. Lamaisa though, and Rav Forrest points out, usually makeup might be considered like the little bit of nail polish that's ruined, because after she comes out of the mikveh, it looks worse. So makeup's not only something which is going to be decorative, but it's going to be monea because she really wants to do another makeup. But it does stand to reason that if she couldn't get rid of all the makeup for some reason, something that she's not mapped on per se at all, just she tried to get rid of it, she couldn't, okay. It's okay, then it's ein bo mamish, that's tzviya, that's going to be okay. It's important to realize we should go on, and it, again, Rav Forst did an unbelievable job. It's a beautiful, beautiful job about some different types of chassitos. One other hour, as far as chassitos is concerned, someone came to me this week with an issue. His wife's wearing a cast for the next 6 weeks. She has to be tovel in a week, or 2 weeks. And the lemaisa, she's going to be wearing a cast for 2 weeks after mikvah. What does she do? Rav Forst is very welcome to be metal for a cast. Rav Avadia,
she goes into the mikvah with the cast.
Well, let's say she'd have to cover it with saran wrap or something like that also, because she can't be double with the cast. So Rav Avadia discusses the issue of cast. There's two volumes, and everyone you should own Taras Abayis, such a beautiful sefer. Volume 3, now you have three volumes. The third volume is Chatzitza Utvila. And if you can check in the text, you know it's sometimes true in the old Rambans, on the Kumash Rav Shuvel's Rambans, and some svarim, you can see when they were printed before computers were so popular, when they were done with computer type. Volume 3 is more computerized type. It just looks a little bit more fresh in terms of the font. That was done much more recently, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, came out, 4 years ago. It's on Chatzitza and Tevila. So Rav Avadia goes through a long discussion and is not to lahavdil with a cast, if necessary, because it's there. You have mamish want it there. Rav Forst does not quote that. Well, Maisi does point out with casts that it's a very serious shaila. There's room to be meto maybe, if issues of pain, issues of how much agmas nefesh it causes her. Others would suggest, what do you mean? Okay, it's a few hundred dollars. Have the orthopedist take it off, keep it immobile, go to the mikvah, then have it put on again. Or you want to wait 2 weeks, the choice is yours. Not so pashut, necessarily, and depends on the situation. So Rav Forst does, he's very machmir, but he does quote, there has to be a shita das, how it's going to affect the couple's marriage in general, what the situation is. We try not to be, machmir. We try to be machmir with cast, but each situation takes a heavy shita das. So this person was concerned specifically about moving. He said he had to move. He wanted to be get rid of the harchakos for the issue of for those 2 weeks. Then he would not mind, even if they had to wait. So the Eitzah that some people thought of the Eitzah is they should be tovel twice. One time to get rid of the harchakos, to be metal for casts, at least that's a kula. The next time to be metal for real tashmish. Well, my sits, but the halacha in Morinkin, you can't tell it to people because the whole point of the harchakos is la'achli tashmish. So if you get rid of the harchakos, it's a tough situation. But what in theory would that be mutter? So Rav Wild was not into that idea. Grufa, again, it's b'dei halacha in Morinkin. You could say it in theory, not in practice, because you can't be Morinkin. But maybe that might be an etza. You try to be choshish both ways. Even though it's definitely against public policy, that's not the policy we would say. It just illustrates the issue of caste on both sides.
Well,
if someone, let's say, that causes pain, she actually wants it there. Something she wants there, so it's not the same as pain, but she actually wants it there because it needs to make her body have a refuah. So that's less reasons. That's not mapa that you don't want it there. You want it there to make your body, it's miut, only the rabbanim, and mapa that you want it there, it's a serious concern.
Why shouldn't it work?
So, first of all, it doesn't really cause pain. It's there, yeah, you want it there, but it's not necessarily the same as pain that Machlokas Rishonim, because it's mamish don't you chotitz, and you want it, you know, you can take it off and put it on. It's not necessarily so convenient. So that's not so posh. Right, depends on that's part of the shikhal das.
It sounds like it's not so much the cast part of the issue, but it's the part that she has to cover it up with something else. That's the issue. Because the cast can't get wet.
Right, cast can't get wet. That's true. So, no. Well, my said it's going to still be, it's all for the same, for the benefit of the cast. But that's a serious look. First, one of these pages talks about casts. Each one is to really take a big shito adas. It's not so pushy.
So minhag is that we're mapped.
Right, for cast, unless this, he talks to the shito adas. Look it up. Look on the index where cast is. It's a very important thing. There are some people that you might know that thought the tula of splitting would be very good tula. You know, that you could split. Again, halachah in Morin Cain, but there's certain people that thought that maybe it would be a good idea to say be made on the tool of Ravadia and others for cast for Harchatos, then make till 2 weeks later for Tzvila, especially if this stuff was moving and they need it, and he needs to help out with the kids, he thought it would be easier. But Rav Wild was not so into that in Morin Cain. So others thought maybe that would be a valid tool. L'maisa, the it's important to realize no discussion of chatitu would be complete without the three columns that the Torah, the Beis Yosef quote from the Gemaras and the Shulchan Aruch. It's both in Siman Kuf Sadi Ches and Tes with Chafifa, which is really the same topic, Chatitu and Chafifa. There are three parts of the body that exist. Number one is Guf, the body itself. The body, as the Shulchan Aruch says, Kuf Sadi Ches, Sif Aleph, Aleph, Aleph. Basic idea is Chatitu 101, the entire body must be submerged in water. The entire body has to be touched with water. That is absolute, cannot be compromised, except the issues we talked about, Rubo, Nios, Jain, and Makud. Then we have Balua, the internal part of the body, the heart, the stomach, the kidneys, don't need to touch water at all. Then we have the middle area of Beis HaStarim. Beis HaStarim are areas that are in between. They're areas which are not necessarily going to touch water, but they have to be royal v'yas mayim. And here we have famous Gemara, called royal v'yila, ein v'yila mateves bo. As long as they're royal v'yas mayim, then the water is not ma'achev, but they have to at least be royal v'yas mayim. And this is there's a famous truth from Rav Moshe about putting cotton in the ear for a woman has an ear infection, so she puts cotton in. Now cotton should not be a problem with her. Cotton can be permeable. It's not going to help them. But what if she puts some sort of wax or Vaseline on in order to make sure nothing goes in? So that's a very serious discussion. Rav Moshe sometimes is makel b'shas d'chad gadol in such a situation, but generally we are not makel. Because Beis HaStarim have to be royal v'yas mayim. Royal v'yas mayim means that it has to be that it can be easily. That's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes. The Shulchan Aruch says, what's the proper position for tevila? The Shulchan Aruch says, in Siflam and Ches and Lamites, she does not need to open her mouth so that the water can actually come in, but she can't hold her mouth very tightly. That's be royal v'yas mayim, normally able to, for the water to come in theory. Ears also, Rav Moshe discusses, let's say she has an infection deep in the ear canal, so that's already considered balua, but somewhere in between, the area right here, that's considered Beis HaStarim. Comes up very common, nowadays there are many modes of birth control which have IUDs, intrauterine devices, such as Mirena, we mentioned in the very beginning, things that are inserted internally, and often it's something which is going to go inside the uterus, and also going to have some sort of string hanging out vaginally, not out of the body. This way the doctor can remove it if necessary. So Rebbe Forst quotes that that's considered, the uterus itself is considered balua, that's not a concern, and even though it's going to be hanging into the vaginal area, which might be considered Beis HaStarim, the string is free flowing, so it's not considered a chatzitza. It's not a concern.
Yeah. What do you mean it's free flowing? Because it's not connected to anything.
It's not
connected to the Beis HaStarim, it's connected to
right. If it would be connected to the walls of Beis HaStarim, that's a different situation. Since it's not connected to the walls of Beis HaStarim.
It's touching it. If I have a.
Right, but it'll float with the water. No, it's not going to do any chatzitza. It won't do any captive chatzitza. The water's going to still be able to go there. Those are very, very important problems. We have Guf, Balua, and Beis HaStarim, the murky area, which needs to be Roy, at least Roy of Yes Mayim. Not always so Pashup, but very important issue comes up all the time. Many, many Shilas. Roy Forst, I believe, discusses this. He does this a beautiful job as far as.
Inside the ear, Beis HaStarim, all the way in,
all the way in, which you can't even reach.
Probably, the wax, you can reach with it.
That's why Beis HaStarim, right? That should be Beis HaStarim.
Different with the wax.
Right, try, within reason. She's never mapped it. It's not.
No. Blow your nose.
Right. Exactly. For sure. Blow your nose. Absolutely. Absolutely. What about dental implants? Temporary fillings. Oh. So Willard usually says the call here. It depends what the reason for a temporary filling and stitches are. If temporary filling should really come out today, but it's the weekend, so the doctor is not. Or it's. Come on. It's an early weekend. It's the summer. He says to be come on Monday. Really have to come out today. That's a problem. That's because that's really. It expired, but if you need it there, then and it's supposed to be there, then it depends. Often we're makel. It might be, depending on the situation, if it's going to only be a matter of a day or two, we tell the couple why be makel if you could be more machmir and either get rid of it or wait bidofa tefila for a day or two. But in general, if it's going to be there for a while, even though it's temporary, permanence is nothing to talk about. Even if it's temporary, if it's something which is there for a while, and it should not be coming out yet. One of those two, either there for a while or should not be coming out yet. Even if it's not there for a while, often we are makel. Rav Moshe already has this idea also. So Chassid said there are many, so many details. We went through the problem very extensively. We covered the problem very beautifully. The details, very, very important. See, very forced, does a phenomenal job on the details as far as Chassid is concerned. Simon Reish, moving from Hilchos Nida to Hilchos Tevila. Simon Reish, I love to do Vayter, but my Shulchan Aruch ends here. Hilchos Nida, we can't do it. Reish Aleph. So just, what should we do? So, a Masai Tasa Brechas at Tevila. Usually, we have Achus and Klal Yisrael, but different Minhagim, Edut HaMizrach, Faro, Mechaber, and Edut HaMa'arav, or the Eastern European Jews, follow the Rama. That's the way it's been for a long time. In Siman Reish, we have no one following anyone in Shulchan Aruch. There are several issues that come up in Shulchan Aruch, Mechaber Rama. Maybe even in Shach and Taz, we'll see. Lamaisa, there's a very serious issue with Berachas HaTevila, because number one, we always try to make him, although it's Machlokes Rishonim, we passed him a Derech Klal, we try to make brachos over Las Yasan, before the mitzvah is done. Number one, that's. Number two, you can't make a bracha in a mitzvah when a person is not dressed. Not only is a mitzvah considered Machlokes, which is Matunuf, maybe, which we presume nowadays is not, because it's only Tefillas Mitzvah, but Lamaisa, if a person is not dressed, how does a person make a bracha? Zach the Mechaber. It's clear from Hilchos Avelos and Hilchos Siman Reish that garments people wore were very different nowadays. Were very different then than they are nowadays. A choluk is a shirt. We translate it as a shirt. It's probably best translated as some sort of undershirt. But not really an undershirt. It's some sort of idea. If you ever think of, let's say, the Three Musketeers. Three Musketeers, let's say, have their sword, and they'll have their, let's say, a vest, and a fancy vest, and you can see some sort of white shirt sticking out. Similar to what people nowadays, women would call a shell. Shell sometimes is like an undershirt type of material. People wear under a dress, but it's still visible. To an extent, that's probably the closest to what maybe. Chsonas, chalukim are. They're not exactly shirts that you would wear outside the house per se. It's a visible undershirt. It's not exactly an undershirt, not exactly a shirt. But one to write many essays, and Shulchan Torah, about where the way people used to wear things nowadays, and then it's Nodea very much 9 days in terms of what has to be clean. What you presume. Clothes that are very close to the body don't need to be necessarily worn before for an avil or for a person during Shiva or Shloshim. Clothes that are more external do. What's a shirt? Depends on how shirts were worn in those days as opposed to nowadays. Not Shloshim for now, but a choluk is some sort of robe, underwear, slash shirt material. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Kishapeshetes Mabusheha. She takes off her clothes and she stands b'chalukah. She stands just in her sort of long petticoat or undershirt, which is going to cover the whole body, makes the bracha, then takes it off and goes into the mikvah. B'di'eved, if she's already in the mikvah and she's atzavar b'mayim, then she should make the bracha, and if they're tzavul, if they're clear, so her body, she can see herself undressed, she should make the water akurim, make it dirty with her hands. Zach the Ramah. No! You're right in general, Kol Rechus Tua, and we make over Lasiyasan, Zach the Ramah. That's in general, but here it's Iefshar. Like Tevilas Ger. Ger can make a bracha over Lasiyas, and he's not Jewish. Asher Kedushanu Mitzosev Tzivanu? Those words don't make sense. There's no Kedushanu, there's no Mitzosev, there's no Tzivanu. So he makes it after Tevila, Zach the Ramah. The same thing is true for a woman who's going to the mikvah, Ad Acher Tevila. Chein Adyan. She's Tovelas, and while she's still in the water, she does it. She's Mevarechus. Zok the Shach and the Taz, the Dark Emotion, the Drisha is very upset. First of all, he says two things don't work. First of all, the water itself is not going to work as a chatitza. And number two, they sometimes are mechabek, they put their arms across their chest. Zok the Drisha, that also doesn't work. That's the minute people rely on to make a bracha. Terrible. Zok the Shach, Zok the Taz, really, so terrible. Zok the Shach in immortal words, Ani Ani Chalki, Vada Nasha Dida Nashim Chachmani Yosein Sitani Yosein. They're Gevaldik. Lamaisa, they're Chachmani Yosein Sitani Yosein. Middle of Yisrael Torah, they're doing the right thing. Zok the Shach and the Taz, there's two Tzadim Mahatil. Number one, women can make a bracha if they have arms across their chest to separate. to be choshesh for those that say there's a concern, libo roes ha'erva, for a woman. Number two, the water that's akur is going to be considered enough of a hefsip. Lamaisa, the minog, based upon the shach and the taz, although not exactly, is that minog, edus mizrach, is similar to the machaber. A woman's going to put on some sort of robe or something like that, make a bracha, either in the anteroom or in the mikvah, before she goes into the actual mikvah, and then go into the mikvah right away. Like the Sfaradim keep the machaber to pshut of pashtus. But edut ashnaz, the minhag in ashnaz is that we combine the shach and the taz and the ramah. Women are tovel twice. Woman is tovel one time before a bracha. Then comes out, puts her arms across her chest, and makes the water akur. If necessary, she makes it opaque. Then makes the bracha. Now, really, really, we're relying on the Ramah, because Ramah says she's tovel afterwards. And we know, they say it's learned from Rabbi Elchanan. It's Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, when he went to the mikvah in Erev Yom Kippur, new Rebbe. What did it feel like? Rabbi Elchanan said, cold. Can't make a list back into a chassidisha hearts. Cold. Didn't cold. It was tovel, it didn't tevila. So it's okay. When a woman is tovel the first time, it works. She's considered tahora. So it's really relying on the Ramah that says that the first time we do, and then she makes the bracha afterwards. But we combine with the shach and taz, they are tovel another time, so they're tovel. They make the bracha with hands across the chest and with water being akur, then a tovel again. So again, between you and me, the first time really counted, because so they're relying on the Ramah that says that they make a bracha achar tevila. But they include the minhag of the shach and taz, sort of, that you can really rely on that to make a bracha before the tevila, a tovel again, the tovel twice.
Why would that help? Maisa, everyone agrees that the first time she went to the mikvah is good. So the second time she's going to the mikvah, there's no reason to make a bracha anymore. The mitzvah's already done the first time.
No, so that's what I'm saying. You're relying on the Ramah. No, you're relying on the Ramah that says that she can be told she makes the bracha after tefillah. You're right. Meaning, you can't get started without the Ramah.
The Shach and Taz would say that's ridiculous to go down for the second time.
They say
even they would agree that there's no point to do that.
Right. It's more to be time the minhag. Of Nashim, Fachmanios, and Sitanios, we do both. To keep the minhag of being tovel after the bracha. So that's what the minhag is. Again, not exactly the Ramah, not exactly the Shach, not exactly the Taz, everything.
It's the Ramah with the Shach and Taz's minhag.
With the Shach and Taz's minhag, exactly. Right. That's the conventional minhag to be able to be tovel. Exactly. It's both. Don't keep that minhag. And that's the minhag, we presume, is Altit Tesharos Nimecha. It's a very beautiful way of Klai Yisrael keeping the different minhagim and the Shach ends off minhagan Torahi, minhag Yisrael Torah. Very beautiful way of ending off the simmons. I mean, Reish, it's a long discussion what to do, but usually the minhag trumps it. Again, it's a combined idea of both the minhag, the shach and the taz. It happens to be the very hative quotes at the end of Sifta and Aleph, the shlach pasav, she'anshe maise yizaru, and she's saying, she's with the tefarach achadach tisal shenis. It's a bit, whenever you see the shlach, you know it's a little bit Kabbalistic. But that is the minhag with quotes versus Israel. The minhag ashna is usually pitovel. Twice. We had the discussion of discussing today Hilchos Chatzitza. We discussed the concepts of, just review quickly, the idea of Rubo and Machbid. When I tell Rubo Machbid, with Rabban and Rubo, or Machbid, Minog, according to the Ramah, is even a little bit, even if Shaina Machbid, get rid of it at all. Reinforce the beautiful idea, not if you're Machbid just for the few, if you're Machbid in general. The Pesach Shiva quotes from the Ravid, the idea that the Shach quotes from the Bachab, and the idea of the Ravid, that Hakbada means if part of your normal course of business, even if you do it just once a month to do Elisha, that's part of your normal schedule. Sometimes you do a week, once a month. It's part of your normal routine is that you're going to get rid of it. That's considered Makbid. But if it's something crazy, just for your chasna pictures, that's not considered Hakbada. We saw the Ramah adds in Sif Chaf, and it's enhanced by the Shach in Sif Chaf and Chaf Hei, that if the Minog, which is institutionalized to get rid of it, that's already something which we're concerned about. And the Behetiv in Sifkat and Chavbeis quotes the Lachot Shach and Taz at length as far as nails. We discussed the idea of nails. I'm going out of order in Chazara from what we did originally in Shir. The idea of nails in general, Lachot Shach and Taz, what happens on Shabbos? Is it really, are we really mapped with both Shach and Taz? Say, come on. Ramah, it's not as far as it really sounds. But, and the Taz says on Shabbos, just get rid of it. The real Itrid Din is get rid of all the Tzoah, Shetachas, Atzipar. And the Shach says, no, we're so mapped, we can make it on a guy to do it. Jeremy pointed out the idea, the Taz idea of Makiv Nitrif, the Shach, I don't recall addressing that. I don't remember. It's probably part of the famous raid. I just don't remember what the point is specifically, how he is going to defend it. So the Tara discusses, you must have a suit hashali, the issue in Sifrat Chav Gimel, the issue of pain, and that's really a point of departure for things that you b'dafka want. Things that you want are considered different. Mafokus Rishonim, but often we're making in certain situations the things that you want, also things that are natural. The Shulchan Aruch is making it with nails aside from the middle, Rav Moshe is making it with hair. Then we talked about the shaving parts of the body. Rav Wood is making anything that's natural, or Rav is skeptical in foot 86 about certain things that you really want off altogether. Nail polish. Often we're making, although we try to get rid of it. And artificial nails, not so pashut. And other discussions of chatzitza, very beautiful discussions, very forced. Three tchalim in the chatzitza. We have rubo, we have grufo, and balua, and beis hastarim. Grufo always needs tevila, mamish. Beis hastarim needs royal vias mayim, and balua never needs anywhere altogether. Not a concern, and sometimes there's a big discussions in Shilas in terms of balua. In terms of beis hastarim. Then minuk for tevila, simin reish. Baruch shechiyanu l'zman hazeh, we got to simin reish. According to the Mechaber, it's an issue of bracha, so you make it over Lasiyasan in general. My wife once did a kala whose husband was a Talmud of Rabbi Chait. So he also, Talmud of Rabbi Chait follow the Rambams often. She also was, even though she was Ashkenazi, was asked my wife how to do it according to Minhag Adich Mizrach, because she was going to do it that way. Bitovel in a robe right before you go into the mikvah. But the Ramah says, make a bracha afterwards. We have the Shach and Taz defend very strongly in that. Make a bracha before. Just put your hands over. It's not a concern. We have the middle Klal Yisrael, partly based upon the Shlah, as the Baritim quotes, is to be total twice. It's Dubait on the Ramah and middle Klal Yisrael. Built on the Ramah and middle Klal Yisrael. They're total once. They make a bracha, then do it again. Keep that middle. And the Shach says middle Yisrael Torah. We know that Shakespeare already pointed out, parting is such sweet sorrow. Beir's Vare of parting is such sweet sorrow. What's sweet? And that sorrow. Sorrow is because it's such a zechus, Baruch Hashem Ashreinu. This changed my summer. The zechus of learning Nihil has needed to be even for the past 6 weeks. I hope that everyone, those that have been here, Etzem, those that have been here on YU Torah, those that are here just through electronic media, those that are here part of the time or all the time, felt enriched by the Torah that we had the zechus of discussing together. And it's so sorrowful that it's over. It's also sweet, Baruch Hashem. Look, Ashreinu, how lucky we were to discuss Be'iyun. All Hilchus need done. Of course, there's always more things to talk about for the second time around, and the third time, and the fourth time, and the fifth time. So everyone becomes a posek, Rez Hashem, posek hador, kein yiratzon. But the tremendous yisodos we set up for Hilchus Nida are Baruch Hashem things that should stay with us for the rest of our lives, Baruch Hashem, with tremendous bracha and hatzlacha. Please make sure to do chazara. So it's sweet, the sara is that we're finished, but hadron alach, the yisod, Pashpshat, Hadron Alach V'Hadrachalan, as we say, Hadron Alach, we're going to return to you, Hilchus Nida, as we say at the end of every Masechta. But the Maral Miprav had a brother, Reb Chaim, who wrote a sefer called Sefer HaChaim. He writes a different shat, Hadron Alach V'Hadrachalan. Hadron is not that we'll be choser, we're going to return to you, which we will be, as we can return to Hilchus Nida, and every time we become more enriched. But Hadron Alach, our Hidr Torah, we talk to the Torah, Hadron, our Hidr, is because of you, Torah. And Hadrach, but your Hidr, Alon, is because of us. As much as it's funny to say it, Hilchus Nida is not the same if it's Munachas Vatar and Zavis. What makes Hilchus Nida so exciting is because we learn it, Baruch Hashem. We're Mahadir the Torah. But in turn, the Torah is Mahadir us. Our pair is the Torah, and it's the pair we go through the rest of our lives, Baruch Hashem. Ashreinu, everyone should have a fantastic summer with Hatzlacha and Bracha, and Kol Tov, which was Ochet, Sinech Masion, Uvinyan Yushalayim B'Mehera.
Regarding two things, first of all, regarding Chazara Shir, I don't need to catch up, so hopefully Mirz Hashem won't get it in before Tisha B'Av, but hopefully the Wednesday after Tisha B'Av will already start finishing up round one of Hazara, and then Mirz Hashem, once we finish round one of Hazara, maybe we'll take a day or two to do round two of Hazara and just pound through everything. So I'll email Michael, and he'll send out the mass emails to keep everyone aware of the situation. If anyone wants to come, that's great. If you don't need to come, but you want the notes, you can just email me directly, and I'll send you out the notes. So, you know, we'll just keep in touch that way. Also, I guess, you know, for the whole year, you want to say Mishkot or Maybrook. Yeah. Thank you so much for, again, we know that for much of the time this was during your lunch break, so obviously some people, they need food, or Maybrook just needs to be the Talmidim, and we all gained very, very tremendously from the Shirim, and they were so clear and so precise, and was, fantastic.
Shtreich, it's nice of us. Thank you very much for your kind words. Thank you. I wish you a lot of hatzlacha and bracha.